The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. From Romans we hear, the word is near. It's on your lips and in your heart. And I don't know about you, but I live in a world with a lot of words, right? Social media, news cycles, emails, all these things, right? All these voices that are coming at us 24/7, it feels like. So the question really today is, how do we know which word is the word of God? If the word is near to us, yes, it is. But which one? Which one is God's voice? In Eastern philosophy and Eastern religions, there's a concept called monkey brain, which I love, monkey brain. And to understand monkey brain, you really have to kind of get your body moving in the way that Eastern philosophy does, which is to meditate. Really, to understand monkey brain and the chatter that our mind is capable of, you have to put your body into a place of silence. And so Zen meditation, for example, is maybe one of the more strict meditation forms, but you sit still for 40 minutes. And when I say still, I mean still. You do not itch your nose. You do not move your ankle because it's uncomfortable. No, you sit in the lotus or the half lotus position. And if you move, trust me, I've done this, you will kind of get a nasty look from the sensei in the corner. And it's very simple. All you're called to do is breathe. For 40 minutes long, you sit in silence and stillness, and you count your breaths. 1, 2. And you count your breaths all the way to 10. But then there's monkey brain. And what happens, what you find pretty quickly, is that as you're counting, you go, 1, 2. What are we going to have for dinner? Okay, back to 1. 1, 2. Oh, shoot, did I turn on the coffee pot or turn off the coffee pot this morning? Right. Monkey brain comes. You cannot make it to 10. Even the most disciplined Zen masters say, try. Try making it to 10. We are not nearly as in control of our minds as we'd like to think. Right here in the West, we have Rene Descartes who said, I think, therefore I am. Right? It's great. But I think in the West, we also take that a step further. We say, I think, therefore I am, therefore everything that I think is really, really important, right? Every thought that I have must matter so much. But sometimes it's just monkey brain. That's what our Eastern siblings say. Not every thought is created equal. Yes, the word of God is near to you, on your lips, in your heart. And then there's the other stuff, the chatter. And I think this is where we find Jesus today. Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days for prayer, contemplation, silence. And he is going to come out of the wilderness. He's going to hear so many voices. He's going to hear people say, oh my gosh, you're the Messiah. Here, take up this sword and shield and go kill some Romans. That's what it means to be Messiah. He's going to hear people say, oh, you're the Messiah. It means this, or you're not the Messiah, or how dare you say you're the Messiah. He's going to hear a lot of chatter. So how is Jesus going to kind of cut through that and get to the point of things, get to the Word of God? And so today he's tested. And if you've ever heard me talk about the devil or Satan in the Bible, you know what I'm about to say. But in the Bible, it's never the devil, right? Horns, pitchfork, red spandex. It's never that. It's the accuser. That's how Scripture, especially the Hebrew Bible, depicts the devil. It's never this guy with a pitchfork prodding us in the back. No, it's like a building inspector or a prosecuting attorney who's kind of needling us, right? If you're the Son of Man, well, here's what it means to be the Son of Man. You really should be able to turn the stone into bread. We hear these voices all the time. Pat, if you're the congregation president, you really should be holding more meetings, you know. If you're a grandparent, Carol, you really should be giving 10 presents at Christmas instead of 5. That's what it would mean to be a grandparent. Right? Those are those voices we hear in the back of our minds. If you're the pastor, you know you really should be putting in an 80-hour work week and donating all of your money back to the church. Right? Those are the voices we hear. Am I alone in this? It's that voice that says in the back of your mind, how dare you? How dare you? And Jesus today says, no. No, that is not the voice of God. And so if you're a person who's ever experienced this voice of how dare you, or it's really good, who do you think you are? Oh, that's a question that I love. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, Pat, to be council president? Who do you think you are, Carol? Who do you think you are, Pastor? That voice, it just cuts us. And sometimes if we're not rooted in stillness and quiet in prayer, we can mistake that voice for the voice of God. But the voice of God never, never sounds like that. Never. The voice of God sounds like what Jesus just experienced just moments before he came into the wilderness. He's baptized and he hears this word, "Beloved, I delight in you." That is the word of God that is near to us. Beloved. So I had the chance to go to see Father Greg Boyle, who, Gina, I know you know Father Greg. Father Greg is the founder of Homeboy Industries, which is the largest gang rehabilitation center in the world. Every year, thousands of gang members from L.A. come through Father Boyle's door. They have industries like bakeries and print shops and things like that. They have cafes in the seat of the county. They have all these kinds of things, which is part of their rehabilitation, giving people a job, doing therapy, doing family systems work, getting people off the streets. So I heard Father Boyle talk last week, and it's just beautiful, this work that he's doing. But Father Boyle never goes to a talk by himself. He speaks all over the country about once a week. He's out on the road, but he insists that it's never just him talking. He always brings along a couple of homeboys, as he calls them, a couple of guys who have been their part of Homeboy Industries. So he was in La Jolla last week. I got to go see him. And sure enough, he's flanked by a couple of guys. One of these guys has tattoos. You thought, anybody see Elijah yesterday at the funeral? He had a tattoo on his face. That's what this guy looked like yesterday. Elijah looked like Spider-Man. This guy did not look like Spider-Man. He had tattoos on his face, and you could tell he was deeply uncomfortable by just kind of being in this space next to Father Boyle. And Father Boyle says, look, the mission of God is oneness. And the way that we get there is the voice of God. It's just simply tenderness. We hear the voice of God, and we echo that into the world. Tenderness, that's it. And he's telling stories, and he's talking, and the talk was fabulous. At the end, we got to ask questions. And, you know, people are a little timid about asking questions. And so I'm sitting there thinking about the voice of God. I'm thinking about tenderness, but I'm thinking, gosh, this guy works with like 15,000 gang members at any given time. And I'm thinking, how do you do this with 27 industries running it all at once and all of these programs and funding? I'm thinking, how do you do tenderness? How do you put this into the world? And so he asks for questions, and people are very polite, and people are slow putting up their hands. And so I shoot up my hand, and he says, yeah, you in the front. And I've got all these questions going through my mind. I said, how do you inject tenderness into an industry, like at a bakery or a print shop? What's your method for being tender? And some of that is my own monkey brain just kind of going crazy. And Father Boyle leans over to the guy with the tattoos all over his face. And the guy says, and Boyle says, yeah, you say something. He hands him the mic. And the guy says, I'm a convicted felon. And Father Boyle gave me a job. And I work next to people who used to be my enemies on the streets. And we try to be good to one another. He hands the mic back. And Boyle says, I don't know how you inject tenderness into an industry. But you can give people a job. You can start by not telling them, how dare you, or who do you think you are. No, you start by voicing the voice that we hear from God. Beloved, here's a job. Beloved, get to work. This is the voice that we are called into this wilderness time of Lent to hear more deeply. Not the voice that says, Pat, do more, Carol, be more, Jeff, be more, who do you think you are? No, that voice is not the voice of God. Anytime you hear that voice, say, be gone, Mr. Accuser. That's not the voice of God. The voice of God always starts with, beloved, I delight in you. That's it. Everything else is just monkey brain. Simple. Thanks be to God. Amen.